Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. This is where three astrologers get together and we talk about what's happening in the heavens above us. And my name is Ann Ortley. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I'm joined by my friend Heather.
This is Heather Ellen Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota in driving rain tonight.
Oh, it's raining there?
Yes, thunderstorms have been going across, sweeping, you know, slight tornado watch, but nothing unusual for the prairies.
Okay, very cool. Well, we have a nice 72 degrees, balmy, breezy weather. And Mark won't be joining us tonight because he has to get up bright and early for a yoga class tomorrow morning and commute at like some ungodly hour, like 4 in the morning or something. Really awful. So everybody send Mark good wishes for him to wake up and his alarm to go off so he gets to class to help people stand on their head. So hopefully he'll join us next week because he's picking up some extra yoga classes. Always good in the down economy to get money. So we're going to talk this week, Heather, about what's going on. We got a lot in the sky. Lots and lots
of
stuff.
And we have some serious Mercury retrograde stories.
We do, we do.
So if people want to join us for the conversation and share their Mercury retrograde stories, we'll be suggesting their note, the time tomorrow, I mean later on, and we'll talk about them. One of my favorite Mercury retrograde stories, which is kind of difficult. It's not as bad as it could be, but it's still kind of a classic example of Mercury retrograde awkwardness, that President Obama has just had a beautiful new rug made for the Oval Office. And with around the edge are famous quotes that inspire President Obama with the names of who said them around the edges. And one of them is by that Obama quotes from Martin Luther King. Only Martin Luther King wasn't the first to say it. Martin Luther King himself was quoting an earlier abolitionist. So the quote is misrepresented on the rug, miscredited on the rug, which arrived with Mercury retrograde, it's true that Martin Luther King did use this quote all the time. He just wasn't the first to say it.
Yeah.
And it was about the trajectory of fate always going in the long run in a good direction. So I think it's a good one to have there, whether or not it was the right one.
Right.
I also noticed
the right guy saying it or not,
Yeah. A great story I was just telling Anne about, and this is not so happy ending, but there's apparently a famous bridge in North Carolina where a train once went on the track, you know, over 100 years ago, and people, as apparently hear people talking, and everybody had died there, so it's a real ghost train experience, including the man with the gold watch and, you know, people mumbling. So there's a group of amateur ghost hunters on the track waiting to hear the sound of the ghosts, and an unexpected group of train engines that was just transporting the engines from one place to another off schedule came whipping around the corner. Some of them got back, but two were killed and joined the ghost realms. And that unexpected twist. I mean, I'm hearing some good unexpected twists, but the unexpected twists that can take us away in difficult situations, why it is always good to measure twice, check three times, and look both ways crossing the street while Mercury is retrograde. And do you have any great Mercury retrograde stories?
I've been having my personal experience with my refrigerator. Because it died again.
Oh, continuing episode.
Yep, it died again. And I went and ordered a new one last week, which was delivered, only to find out that it wasn't my refrigerator that was dying. It was actually my fuse box that was loose. So the trick was, ho-ho, it's not the refrigerator dying. It's the fuse box that isn't screwed in tight enough that's making the refrigerator go on and off intermittently. So the refrigerator actually was totally fine, but I figured if I canceled my second refrigerator that I'd ordered from Home Depot, they would post a little sign with my face on it and say, this woman is very strange. She comes into the store and orders refrigerators and then cancels them. Don't sell her another refrigerator. So I took delivery of my new refrigerator. So I have been really working on repositioning my shelves. You know, you realize when you have an old refrigerator, you have routines and rituals about where you put the milk and where the butter goes and all that. And now I am adjusting to a new refrigerator, which has got a whole different configuration. So my Mercury retrograde is a happy one, but it was kind of, you know, the refrigerator was nothing wrong with it. It simply had a loose fuse that once the fuse was screwed in, the power came on and the thing worked and it didn't keep going on and off. So that was my Mercury retrograde story. Plus, you know, the other thing that happens with this Mercury retrograde is the ghosts come back. So you're going to hear, or I've heard, from a lot of people from my past. And often those people return to remind us, you know, and I think people go, oh, man, Mercury retrograde, I ran into this, my ex-partner, rah, rah. And you go, well, what did you learn after you ran into him after not talking to him for whatever? I learned rah, 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 rah. Right, that's what the ghost came back to remind you. So it's always good to pay attention to who you meet and what you learn on a Mercury retrograde, because very often it's the universe's way of reminding you of how far you've come, how much you've grown, how different you think now than you did back then, and no yelling at yourself that you did something wrong, you know, you can't believe I talked to him again. It's like, no, you need to talk to them on a Mercury retrograde to make sure it's really finished, that it's truly done. And then once you're truly done, you move on. So the ghosts that have been visiting, plus this Mercury retrograde has, you know, it's taking place while Uranus and Jupiter are on the fixed star shit. And I think that star
Fixed star?
S-C-H-E-A-T, which is actually pronounced shit. It's
spelled fixed star, S-H-I-T?
S-H-E-A-T. S-C-H-E-A-T. But it actually...
How apt is that other name?
Well, some people call it shit, other people call it shit. So it's kind of, it works under both. And so anyway, that fixed star is a very interesting star because it talks about undermining yourself through your own actions. So it's also a Mercury retrograde for us to watch our actions so we don't undermine ourselves through our behavior. So it's an interesting, that's the other part, is it seems to be like the guys, you know, hunting the ghosts who became ghosts. Their behavior undermined, not certainly they didn't mean it to, but it undermined their life, you know. So there's a strong energy under this Mercury retrograde about, you know, kind of being careful what you wish for or being conscious of how you're expending your energy because it's kind of got a funky kick to the back end of it. So,
I also noticed, mentioned that the sunspots are beginning to crank up. And there was a large solar flare last week that did not aim towards Earth, so we still have an active aurora borealis in Canada and points north just at the moment. And that energy, when we see the solar flares beginning to speed up, it sort of cranks up the volume on some of our aspects, for better or worse. And I've noticed tends to leave people a little tired, like their body's sort of adjusting. And when everything else is fine and we see a very active sun, the history is excited, but people have these strange tired moments in the process.
Where they really feel very exhausted.
And with that, right now we have Venus and Mars in a beautiful trine to Neptune. So that is a really strong, imaginative, poetic soul that, again, brings up the ability to vision something different. Venus and Mars and Libra, trine Neptune, we can, there's, you know, with every aspect, there's two ways to play it. And that aspect, or at least, there's two poles, and we can go anywhere in between those two poles. But one of the more dangerous sides of that is to get lost in our fantasy, to live in an imaginary other world. We all may need some downtime or out time or time with a good book during this, but to watch that escape, the tendency to live in our imagination rather than to live in our reality. I've seen people who are very emotionally hungry under this aspect and start to imagine relationships when all that happened was the person returned the change nicely over the counter at CVS, you know, that they're really running off on their imagination in relationships and damaging the relationships that are actually happening in their life. That's one of the ways. But it's also a certain passivity. a sense of, well, it'll all be taken care of, magical thinking. It'll all be taken care of, or it's all terrible, either one. And that magical thinking that removes us from the reality. On a positive note, that aspect does give us the imagination to see that life could be different than it is if we are willing to do the hard work necessary to get it from where it is now to where we imagine it could be. So the difference with that Venus-Mars conjunction trine Neptune is, are we willing to back it up with the Virgo work? Or do we use it as a realm to escape from this reality and put work and imagination in separate categories? And that can be dangerous.
Well, I think we want to put work and imagination in separate categories right now. Part of it is because they are in Libra, you know, there's a desire to split the energy. And I often find that the Libra times are when we say, well, I know I really would like that to happen. Can you make it happen for me? Rather than figuring out how to do it. And there aren't a lot of planets right now in Virgo. You know, they've all moved into, can you help? And I don't, that's good. We like help. The help's a good thing. We love help. But it's also not necessarily willing to grindstone. You know, it's like, you know, it just kind of wanted to happen. And then the trine to Neptune kicks up that, can it just magic? And then they're also in conjunct to Uranus, so there's also a desire to not have to work to have it happen. Because it's like, well, it just like drift, float. So I think the other piece to remember is if you kick a little or you have a little energy behind it, you can actually get a great deal accomplished. Even if you might not be in the mood to necessarily do it. Or you're feeling overly tired. It's also because this moon is kind of a funky new moon. We have a new moon on Wednesday, which we're going to talk about, I guess, now. There's a new moon on Wednesday in Virgo. Normally, new moons in Virgo are really fun. We get a lot accomplished. They're power, you know, power habit-changing kind of moons. This particular new moon's interesting because it has, you know, when you do electional astrology, one of the things that you say is no planets changing signs on the day that we're picking the moon for. So, like, or the planet for, like, let's say you want to start a project, you look at the aspects and you don't look for days that were planet station or where planets change signs because it adds an element of unpredictability to the day. So on this new moon, we actually have two planets changing signs. We have Venus entering Scorpio from Libra, so she's going from air into dark water. And then we have Jupiter going from fire, Aries, he's going backwards, fire, Aries, into Pisces water. So fire into water, and then air into water, right? So we've got double water energy kicking up on this new moon in Earth. So it's a good moon, I think, for releasing things. And we often think of new moons as beginning things, but this is, I would think of as a releasing moon that you, because they're both going into water.
And Mercury's still retrograde.
And so we've got this energy of the new moon on a retrograde, so it's reverse your bad habits around food, reverse your habits around this, reverse your habits, retrograde, go release them, are E words, and do that with the new moon rather than saying, you know, I want to create whatever, because it's really not a creating moon, it's a releasing moon, which I think is really interesting.
Yes. Did you see the movie Master and Commander?
No.
By any chance?
Yeah.
It's
like
great,
that's a Russell
Crowe
movie, right?
It's a Russell Crowe movie. It's you know, French-English war pirate ships or fighting vessels under sail. But there's a scene when they're all sitting around eating and, you know, they see a boat coming at them and they go, clear the decks! And they just swipe the tables clear because they have to set up the cannons where they're eating is also the deck that you do all the work in for the fight. And the image of them just clearing the decks, throwing everything that was there out of the way, where that term comes from, how to clear the decks for a fight. And that's what it feels like to me with the new moon in Virgo this time. It is, how do we clear the decks?
Right.
How do we, and it's a wonderful time to begin an intestinal cleanse, to edit, to organize your life, to finally get some of the letters mailed and the tapes that you should have sent off to your clients weeks ago, says Heather.
I know about that, Heather. It's hard. You have tape buildup, you know?
Yeah, you sure do. And all of that we need to do to clear the decks for the next phase. When Mercury goes direct, the energy of the new moon begins to release. But right now, you're right. It's time to go back, reorganize, and clear the decks first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's sort of, you know, if you were doing a work on your house, it would be the breakdown time, not the build-up time.
Right.
So, it's a beginning, but it's a beginning by first clearing the room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Clearing out problems with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch the tendency in that new moon in Virgo to analyze the hell out of anything. That, you know, analyzing a problem is not the same thing as curing it or healing it.
Right.
Which can be a Virgo problem, as two Virgos can tell you that.
But we're so good at analyzing, Heather. Why would we want to give
so
up that trait, you know?
Well, we can do that for pure fun. We have to admit that it's our recreation.
It is our recreation.
It may or may not be actually helpful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's so many relationships I'm seeing now where one of the partners is trying to figure out what the problem is and the other one's just getting more and more wounded. And I'm saying, don't focus on the problem. Focus on the solution just for now and see how you can take it.
Right. Yeah, because the solution is in the vision of the new future. It's not necessarily in fixing partner. The partner maybe doesn't want to get fixed either, you know. It's because the Libra energy is involved. Libra energy always is like, you know, you need to change. And it's like, nah, you know, I'm not changing. You need to change. It's the Libra, you know, finding the balance in that, hitting the tennis ball back and forth over the net. What is, you know, where is the game? Who's in process? How are we working with this? And understanding that connection piece of connecting is what the story is. It doesn't necessarily, it's about keeping the ball in play, not necessarily changing the behavior. And part of our desire with Pluto and Mercury in a trine, because Mercury's retrograde trining Pluto and the North Node, we're also stimulating that desire to transform and change derived with that North Node in Capricorn. Now, the other thing that happens that's interesting is when Venus goes from Libra into Scorpio, all the Libra planets and the Taurus planets are now all going to be answering to Venus in a sign where she's a toughie. Venus in Scorpio can be a little difficult on a bad day, but on a good day, she's very passionate about what she wants. So once she shifts on Wednesday, we're going to find that everybody is much more impassioned about their way of doing thing or their whatever it is, because Venus now then rules Mars and herself in Scorpio, and then Saturn's in Libra, so he's answering to Venus in Scorpio. Pluto is in Capricorn, answering to Saturn, answering to Venus in Scorpio, and the North Node is in Capricorn, answering to Venus in Scorpio. So that's a lot of intensity. You're going to really feel
a
weak shift on Wednesday from this kind of la-di-da-di-da into, you know, kind of, it's a low growl in the throat. You know, it's like the noise my cat makes when he sees a pigeon on the fire escape. And you can feel the hunt coming in. And the other thing we're having is Saturn is squaring the nodes and the eclipse point, Saturn's on the eclipse point, I'm sorry, squaring the eclipse point from the eclipses on June 26th. So emotionally, June 26th is up. And we also have Saturn passing the point that he stationed at last January. So we're into new Libra story, you know, the story that paused in January and said, oh, wait, I'm not quite ready. Let's go to Virgo land and fix it a little more. Now Saturn is really committed to his journey in Libra. So he's really going to be pushing full steam ahead, but with Venus in Scorpio as his boss, and he's going to trigger the eclipse from June, that nodal degree of 4 Capricorn, where Pluto is stationing and Mercury is trining and the North Node is getting awful close to. So it's a very powerful week for forward motion. It's also a powerful week for, you know, the passions unbridling, you know, it's kind of like riding the horse bareback through the field, you know, you just passion afoot, but it's not controllable passion. It's, you know, it's kind of a, my cat hunting a bird on the fire escape. I want to kill you. You are my prey. It's got that kind of, to it. I don't know the right word. I just, you know, the energy, you know, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you go, okay, cool, that's great. All this excitement and passion and whatever. And then the moon goes into Libra, right? And she's answering to it, and she sets off that T-square. And then the moon goes into Scorpio, and it sets off the T-square. And then Mercury and Pluto station and turn direct right next to each other in trine aspect. So expect by Tuesday of next week to really feel kind of all the engines that have been revving to really start to take off on Tuesday when those planets start to move direct.
Mm-hmm,
and it kind of goes, you know.
Now, I'm a little worried about the effect of Mercury and Pluto turning direct at the same time.
Trying the North Node.
Yes, right.
And with Pluto answering to Venus and Scorpio.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sextiling South Node.
The
process when Mercury and Pluto together, you know, it could be the best I see from it is a revealing of hidden information, evidence,
mm-hmm.
the truth of an understanding, something that breaks open our sense of illusion and helps us step forward. The difficulty of it is you can often see when a planet's turned direct, it's much more intense when Mars turns direct, but that unblocked power or brooding plots or a place where someone's mind has gone really squirrely. They've been festering on a misunderstanding, or they're plotting your downfall, or they have been plotting something behind the scenes. Some pent-up energy gets released all of a sudden. So over the weekend, I'd really keep an eye out for people with a crazy look in their eye. Just stay cool.
Stand back from the edge of the subway platforms, yeah.
Stand back from the edge of the subway platform. Look for the crazy look in their eyes. And it's probably more likely that we find something missing that's been lost in our house that comes to the surface. And good information makes it to the surface. And we get good political reportage. You know, keep your eyes open for breaking news stories that are more about good investigative journalism coming to the surface
mm-hmm.
or soon afterwards. But keep an eye out for the boil that breaks in the psyche for some.
Right, right. And also important news that because it's triggering the eclipse brings hidden things to light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the hidden things that have been below the surface can pop too.
Exactly.
So you can get, you know, like let's say something happened last June of this year, and you were like, I don't understand what the heck's going on there. You may get the information now because that eclipse is popping, where the person says, well, you know, I da da da, and you go, oh, that's what was going on. Okie dokie. And also the story from then can come back, meaning if there was a story that was going on in June that was unresolved or unfinished, or you thought perhaps was finished, and it isn't yet because it's back surfacing, and it's alive. And so understanding that's part of it too. And then also because Saturn is going forward now into new territory, we're back to the fall. If you're old or old enough to have had been alive 30 years, we're back to the fall of 1980 through July of 1981. So there's a repetition of the story from that time that's active in your life. And so think back to that. And if you were young, then talk to your parents, because whatever was going on for them back then is up and running. As Saturn is really moving quickly now, because he's in Libra and he gets all the way to 17 by January. So he's flying through the sky. So it's good.
So do we have someone online?
We do. And we'll put out our caller number for anybody who'd like to call in.
Okay.
347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And so remember, full moon, Venus changing signs, Jupiter changing signs, Mercury going direct, Pluto going direct next Tuesday, but still counts because he's talking to Mercury. Talking to Mercury.
Just a few things.
Yep. And Mercury retrograde, screwing up communication, making things go backwards and crazy. And Mars trining Neptune, which is always kind of a juicy little imaginative fun thing. And Venus occults the moon. And Venus trines sextiles Pluto. So it's a big week. Watch for information. Watch for news. So with that in mind, we'll go for the callers. Hi, 954. How are you?
Hi, good evening. How are you, girls?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing fine.
How can we help you?
Did you have a question? Sure. You had your hand raised, huh?
Should I give you my birth date?
Sure, or tell us your question. You know, we can try and solve it psychically, too. That was a joke. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, November 3, 1959.
November 3, 1959. What time?
5:20 p.m.
5:20 p.m. Where?
In Panama, Central America.
Panama, South America. Okay. Panama City or?
Here? Yeah, but not Florida.
No, Panama City, Panama.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of cities in Panama. So which part of Panama? Okay, we can do anywhere in the country. All right, November 3rd, 1959, 5:20 at night, in Panama, the country. Cool. So what's the question?
Yes, I have decided to. The past 3 years has been very rough financially, and. Business-wise and love-wise, so I decided to go back for my master's. I decided to look for a job. So I was wondering that everything is well aspected. I've been for the past 2 months looking for a job. So after all these 3 years, I'm hoping that being so rough that new things will come up in my life. So I was wondering how the plans were aligning according to my birthday. Regarding job and regarding going back to school, which is not much. It might be only one or two classes so I can get my diploma. And how about
I think it's excellent for you going to back to school. When did you start back to school?
On Wednesday I will be having my meeting with my teacher, and we're going to see the plan because I left school 20 years ago. But... the credits are still valid. He went through it and he said, we might only have to do one or two classes and that's it. And I said, oh, okay.
Wonderful.
Because I didn't study for 2 years. I just, things happened. I got married, whatever, you know, things happened along the way. So I just didn't finish. So he said, you know what, I think we can do something. So on Wednesday I have my appointment.
Excellent. You know, this whole year is a revolution for you. Your progressed sun is conjunct Pluto at the moment. And that's sort of a death and rebirth of your sense of yourself. And you've been coming through a dark time as that the progressed sun, Pluto, have been sort of bunny hopping for a while. But it feels like this year it begins to turn around and you begin to get a little breath of air. And feel the revolution, that pressure that you've had to change begins to actually change. So I'm feeling very good about this, you know, that you've been through the death of yourself in many ways for the last couple of years. You've been going through a very tough time. And all the things that you identified as yourself were challenged. And you're normally, you know, very competent. And 2 years ago, it looks like you were... was a real shift of gears in saying, okay, it is time to deal with the work that you came here to do. And in another 6 years, your progressed sun conjunct Saturn, and you're heading into some work that really matters to you. And I think it will continue to grow. You know, it's like you're not asking for the easy road. You want real solid work, but work that you can actually do.
Right.
And in over the next few months, your progressed moon, which is at 22 Libra, conjuncts, is running very close to Venus and Mars as it goes through these aspects. And it feels like your progressed moon for the next 8 months, you're meeting interesting new people, you're making interesting new connections, and you're moving into a time where there's a lot more support for you and more support around you. You know, as Venus and Mars head into Scorpio and conjunct your Neptune, Mars, Sun, and a few asteroids in there, and you're going through all of your planets, I think you'll see that going back to school, it's not just going to the classes and waking up your mind. It's really walking into a new group of people, a new way of seeing the world, new contacts that will be very helpful for your work and for your whole life. I think it's a real change coming.
Okay.
Anne, what do you see?
Well, I would agree with what you said in general. I think also part of the, you know, with Saturn going through her sixth house, it's really, I call that the apprenticeship. So what happens on that time is you really learn the craft, you learn the skill, you learn the trade, the talent. And if you think back to when you interrupted your education, and, you know, your chart actually shows an interruption in education. You have Saturn in the ninth house, which often indicates that higher education is interrupted, and at some point in time when you're in a Capricorn phase, i.e. older, like you are now, you go back and you finish your degree. So, you know, certainly full steam ahead, plus you have Saturn squaring those nodes. So I think you'll be very surprised. And Saturn through the sixth house, one of the things you're going to be is the elder to the people in the school that you're with. So your chart normally is a counselor to people because of all that emphasis on the quadrant, the third quadrant, seventh house, eighth house, ninth house. You counsel people kind of naturally anyway. So you're going to find your work as you're working with the people that you're in school with, because there's going to be obviously a bit of an age difference. I think you're going to find that it's a really helpful thing for you and for them. And also as Saturn goes through the sixth house, I think you may find you have a natural gift for teaching, that you'll be kind of going, gee, you know, maybe I, when I'm finished with all this, I can teach. Because your wisdom is going to really start to shine with this transit of Saturn through the house of learning to be an apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really cool thing. And then the other part is Pluto is on your Saturn, stationing on your Saturn. So you're finishing up a 250-year cycle. Now, we don't often think of ourselves as having 250-year cycles because we don't live that long. But Pluto to Saturn is really coming to own your own authority and saying, I am standing in my own truth, and my truth is this, and this is who I am. And then Pluto is also trining Pluto in your fifth house of children and your creativity. So I think you're going to find going back to school after having time off is really profoundly exciting for your mind and profoundly exciting for your sense of possible and creative, and it also amplifies that grand trine in Earth that you have natally, which is, you know, unless it's practical and you can see why you need to do it, you don't really see why you should do it. But if it is practical, you're right in there. And I think you're going to find that this going back at this time is a really practical component for you, and it really inspires you, really, to take off on a whole new level. So I think it's great. I'm voting yes. Good aspect.
Great.
And you're through the hard times. You know, when Pluto goes through all those, you know, he's been running across all your planets since 83,
wow.
Right? Because he went all through your Scorpio planets, starting in November of 82. He's been kind of bing, bing, bing. You finish with one Pluto transit and you start the next. And you're graduating this fall from Pluto school. So you are really going to find that your creativity, because Pluto, as he went through 82, he hit Vesta, then he hit your Neptune, your Mars, your Sun, your Juno, your Athena, your Mercury, your Jupiter, your Ceres, your Moon. All of those have been totally transformed by Pluto in Virgo. And now Pluto comes to Saturn and he says to him, I have done my work. And Saturn says, yes, you have. And you're a Capricorn midheaven. You know, so your work is important to you. And he says, now let me say to you, you have accomplished what you're here to do. Because Pluto in Virgo is really here to help make the world a better place. You guys are coming into your own now as you're taking over from the Pluto and Leo babies. So I say full steam ahead, you know. It's been a real interesting ride you've been on, and you're graduating by going back to school.
Okay, so what would be the right time? Because for the past 2 months, I've been looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I might. Mm-hmm. There might be an interview coming up. I don't have a date. Everything has been pretty slow, I guess, due to Mercury
mm-hmm.
being retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope nothing has to be before September the 12th.
Right. That's soon.
Well, September the 12th is this weekend, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. No worries. Probably next week. This week is going, you're reviewing your academic record by going to see the school and figuring out when things happen. And then once you go back, once you get that cleared up, then you're in a whole other place. So.
Yeah, but without a job, I cannot pay to school. So that's why I need to get...
I think that there's a good chance that you're going to get some funding. I'm going to talk to them about funding for your schooling, which will help you. I think I really want you to investigate all the possibilities for getting funding for that. Because I do think you're going to get a job, but I think that the cost of those, at least some of the cost of those classes may be defrayed by scholarship or grant money. So
okay.
Please investigate that thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of getting work, Saturn on your north node should start to bring work in. And he's also, you know, he's moving again, and he's in your sixth house of work. So I think that actually can bring in work. Let me look and see if there's a better day to give you in terms of time frame for when that happens. Yeah, your progressed moon right now is 22. So Mars and Venus are both on that. And Uranus is on your progressed node. So look for jobs in the nonprofit sector, in hospitals, in behind the scenes locations, in locations that are where people like nursing homes and hospitals, jails. Not that you really want to work in a jail, but
also in schools.
Yeah.
Schools are large possible. Institutions.
Large institutions
of
yeah.
any kind.
Mhm. You've got good aspects for it. And it's something near your house. So look for something near your house. Is there some place like that near your house?
I've been looking for, when you mentioned nonprofit, I've been looking into nonprofit but international.
Okay.
Good.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Where your language skills can come into play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You also are having Pluto on your progressed sun now. Your progressed sun is 2 degrees Capricorn. So once Pluto gets off of that, which is when it goes direct next week, he's going forward off of your sun, that should also bring in work too.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about you finding a job by the end of the month. I think you should have one by the end of
okay.
September. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I said, well, it's already 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and only one, and I was overqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay? Mm-hmm. I guess it wasn't for me.
Right.
Mercury will be coming.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
said, well, Mercury is retrograde, so things are going to be really, really slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
said, well, in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start finding out everything that I have to do with my master's, go back, get my credits, put all my records
mm-hmm.
together. So that's what I'm doing. I'm having my appointment on Wednesday.
Right. You're redoing your degree side while the planet's about moving forward or going backwards. That's a really good idea. Yeah. I don't think you'll be that out of work for very long. This is a hard-working chart, and you have a pretty good reputation, for hard work. So forward you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, well, by the time I find everything about school, then
mm-hmm.
the job will jump in. So I,
mm-hmm.
then I compromise. So by the time I already got all the information,
mm-hmm.
instead of getting all the information while I'm working.
Right. I think
so
that's a great plan.
When I start working, I only have to register.
Right. Very cool. Good. I think that's great. So keep us posted, okay?
I will, girl. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, 646. How are you? Turn down your radio. Hi, 646. 646.
We can't. Hello. We can't hear you.
Yeah, she's got the radio on. I'm turning her off. Okay. Hi, 212.
Okay.
212, how are you? Hello?
Is Mercury retrograde?
It is Mercury retrograde. I'll go back to 646. Hello, 646.
Hello?
Did you turn the radio off? Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We went off to 212, but they weren't there either. So we came back to you, and you heard us. Good. So what's your question? Yay.
I recently discovered that I'm having my Jupiter return.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 24 mm-hmm. years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how I can use the Jupiter return to unblock myself creatively, because I think I was born to be pretty creative, but for some reason I've been pretty blocked.
Okay.
Okay, what's your birth information?
June 28th, 1986, at 9:01 a.m. in Manhattan, New York City.
June 28th, 1986.
9:01 a.m.
in Manhattan.
And the with Jupiter return is an opportunity. Jupiter rarely kicks us out the door. It usually opens up a space for us. And we have to decide how we do it. So it depends a lot on the Jupiter aspects natally. So let's take a look at those. And it looks to me like you're past your Jupiter return, mm-hmm. but Jupiter is coming back to touch it. What's interesting is I have your moon at 0 degrees of Aries. So Jupiter is actually sitting right on your moon and is about to go back, and Uranus is going back and forth over your moon. And that will help you unblock, quite vigorously help you unblock your creativity if you choose to take the risks involved. But it looks to me you're a Cancer moon in Aries, and there's so many paradoxes that exist in your chart. You've also got Pluto coming to oppose your sun over the next few years, so you're really in the process of how do I make the most out of myself.
Yes.
Your chart has a self-consciousness. There's several sides to it. There's one part of you that is out there, involved in the world, excited, and there's another part of you that's rather self-conscious.
Yes.
And sometimes it's the fear of what people are seeing that shuts you down from the wild and crazy side of you that's very creative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really important that you learn to break down, and you've got your progressed sun last degree of Cancer. By within 6 months, your progressed sun's in Leo, and you're heading into a much more extroverted 30-year cycle.
Really?
But it looks to me like you're, if you can learn, it's a rhythm of working with your planets, that you tend to sort of focus on being seen for what you do and thinking about that you want to be the best. So it's hard for you to give yourself beginner's mind, to let yourself be creative. And I'm also an Aries moon, and I have lots of Virgo, so I have a different form of the same issue. And when I write, I have learned that I have to just, I call it blorping, I just have to write without thought of the audience for a while. And just, what do I want to say? What am I excited about that I want to be passionate about to share? And then I need to bring the editor in to shape it and form it and turn it into writing. And that the creative side of you and the editor side of you tend to fight.
Right.
And your ambition about wanting to be the best gets mad at you as you start it, so it's hard for you to really be as you censor yourself as you're going.
Yep.
So if you can say thank you for sharing to your editor and ask your inner editor to sit on the side, and let your Aries and Leo do the talking and be wildly expressive. And they can paint, sculpt, draw, dance, say, and then the editor comes back in and cleans it up and polishes it and makes it better. And you can break it down into those two steps. So the editor trusts the process that it will have a say before the public gets to see it, but it's going to sit on the side while you first paint, draw, create, dance, do. And you're doing it because your inner muse needs to express itself, not because anybody's going to see it. And then later, before somebody else sees it, you clean it up. And I think that you'll find that just working with that rhythm starts to help you break it open. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Very helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely feel like I was sort of born overly critical since I can remember, and stories mm-hmm. people tell me of when I was a child, how grumpy I was and how moody I was, but also very colorful and everything. So I'm kind of overwhelmed with duality mm-hmm. in my existence.
Oh, yeah. Yep, both. It's okay. That's what makes you interesting. Most creative people have that, have the two sides, you know, the critical edge, or they wouldn't keep getting better at what they do. And they have the enthusiastic. You're just impatient with yourself and impatient with the future. And it looks like there was some depressive issues, and, you know, you want to push yourself to be the very best, so it's a little hard for you to get started. So we want you to kind of calm down on the competitive aspect of you and let yourself, and don't worry about being the best. See, how much can you begin? And that's when you're a winner. Did you have siblings? Where were you in the birth order?
I'm the second child of an 8-year gap in between mm-hmm. me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's 8 years
because
older than me.
It was your, because it looks like there was something about your early education and your early relationships with your siblings that got you in the habit of being self-critical and being a little grumpy. That Pluto in the third.
I changed elementary schools 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Between the ages of 9 and 11.
And I think that was hard on you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you always, you know, wanted the most out of yourself, and got that increased your self-consciousness rather than increased your comfortability with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't, you know, it gave you versatility. There are good things out of it. But I do think that self-consciousness is something that you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay.
And that's, you know, we're just working on healing that. Don't worry about that was a problem. Just say, okay, and now do we help you evolve from it?
Right. The other thing.
And what do you see?
Well, mm-hmm. I think, you know, what I noticed right away is the T-square,
mm-hmm.
which is when what that works like is kind of it's what we had this summer, actually, which we were all writing mm-hmm. about in the sky, and you happen to have it. You happen to have it in your chart, what with nice planets, with your mm-hmm. sun, which wants to create and nurture, and your moon, which mm-hmm. wants to be the pioneer and kind of, climb every, and then Neptune, which says, oh, can I really do all that? I don't know that I can do all that. What if I try, you know, what if it doesn't work? What if I, where you kind of talk yourself out of giving yourself permission to do things.
Mm.
And so what you have to do is say to Neptune, can you sing that song? Can you, and put on music, you know, like, you know, mm-hmm. use the Neptune in another way, because the Neptune's in the creative mm-hmm. place. So when a person is a creative mm-hmm. person, like, you know, if you came to me, I'd say, you know, you're an artist, but you get in your own way. And you'd go, yes, I am. The Neptune has to be channeled. And we watch in the culture, drug and alcohol problems are very common with creative people because that's the lower form of Neptune. In your case, it's a critical voice. You don't necessarily have drug and alcohol problems, but you have a critical voice that says to you, well, who do you think you are that you can do that? Where'd you get that idea? And you have to kind of say to that voice, I'm going to put you over there in the corner singing, and I'm going to give you work to do that'll keep you busy so that the other two parts of me can plot and plan what I want to do and get that creative energy going. And the other thing I notice is the inconjunct. You have an excellent, excellent, fabulous Mars. It's in the favorite sign it loves, Capricorn, but it's in Virgo's house. So what that does is it tends to look at everything and go, that's not good enough. That's not.
Yep.
And so you have to say to that, hush, go fix it. But fix mm-hmm. it when I tell you at 20. You can't fix it until I do 20 pages. You can't fix it until I do 20 minutes. You can't fix it until I do 20 days. And give it 20 that it gets to fix it. And tell it to make a list. But it doesn't get to fix things until 20. And that will help you a lot with letting your creativity really come out because your creativity is worried about the Mars. Now, if you look at your Jupiter return, because you did start the story with that, Your Jupiter return was on April 24th at 5:33 at night. So I don't know if you're how much astrology you know, but if you look at that chart, it's what's called a splash chart, meaning it has creativity in all different directions. And one of the things that astrologers notice is every 12 years we have a Jupiter return. You know, they're big cycles. So this Jupiter actually is lovely because it's sitting in your house of work, and it's opposite your Saturn and it's next to your Uranus. So it's a lovely creative 12 years coming about you. But what I would do is every day give yourself a half an hour creative assignment, whether it's learning a monologue or it's painting a picture or it's doing something. When I was younger and I was into photography, I took a course called a roll of film a day, and we had to shoot a roll of film. We had to develop the film, make a contact sheet, which was all the pictures on the roll, and make a print for every day, and journal. Every day we had to do this, you know, whether you were sick,
excellent,
throwing up, moving, whatever. And that commitment to creativity every day really was very instructive, and the group would meet once a week, and we would share what we'd gone through, because the committing to creativity. And I would say to you, what's your commitment? And to make a commitment in your own mind on this new moon to release your fear of committing to creativity every day. And every day give yourself a half an hour creative assignment where you sit and do something for half an hour. Set the timer where you're working on and I don't care if it's dancing in your apartment. That's all you can do that day. But make something that makes your heart sing creatively, and you'll be amazed at how that fuels the rest of your life, because that'll help you get out of your way. But it's a very nice chart, Jupiter Uranus in the sixth, but it says make a commitment to be creative every day, and then we will give you what you want. It's kind of an interesting, the configuration of that chart is very nice. But that would be what I would suggest with your Jupiter return. And I think you'd be surprised at how much happens when you do something like that.
Huh.
But it was a great class, the Roll of Film a Day class, because you really made a commitment.
What form of creativity are you most interested in?
Well, it changes all the time. I went to a lot of art schools, and I got really jaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to return to what I really like, which is basically I'm taking a class at a trade school. I'm planning on taking this basic jewelry design class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all hands-on, and there's no pretentiousness. So I'm really looking forward to doing this practical application.
Excellent. And don't worry about what you're doing with it. When you go to school, go there to get skills, to learn know-how. Don't worry about anything else. And you're working on that the school will help you put out something creative every single day. And I think that Anne's idea of journaling as you're painting, as you're drawing, to get your soul and mind and emotional creativity flowing at the same time your hands are doing. So you're just writing about the pieces that you're doing. And you're writing about, you know, the process of creativity and the flows of it itself. And so that you're letting all sides of you get creative until it's very clear to you which ones you like and which ones you don't. Right now it's just, while Uranus is sitting on your moon back and forth all this year, it's time to be wildly experimental and spontaneous and, found object art, and just try everything you possibly can think of. And then as the dust settles next year, you'll begin to see, blacksmithing and jewelry and painting and enameling and dancing and this and that and that, and I'm only interested in these three, and taking those and running with them. But to try everything you possibly can, to really stretch yourself in creative process this year rather than try to decide or get particular about it, okay?
Okay.
Cool.
Great.
Great
Thanks.
Chart. Go
Thanks.
For it, kid.
Good luck.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. All right, so we got 5 minutes. Time for, let's see if 212 is there. Hi, 212, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's your question?
I have a very quick question.
Cool.
I don't know how long.
We don't
know.
Have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
Good, you're quick.
Well, and what happened is you came back to me and my phone stopped working. So she obviously was supposed to be.
Your data?
I'm sorry, January 27th, mm-hmm. 1947.
Uh-huh.
Sweetwater, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan County, Texas.
And what time?
6:27 a.m.
6:27 a.m. Sweetwater, Texas. And what's your question?
How do I get grounded?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having...
Oh, just that little question.
Yeah, I'm having... No. You all did so well with just giving her precise direction.
Yeah, totally
the last person.
Cool. Yep.
That's what I'm looking for.
Because
I'm having all kinds of ideas and ready to change the world and whatnot, and I'm, I just need to get grounded. So, do you have any advice?
Well, you have a Mars, Sun, Athena, and
Mercury.
Pallas Athena, and Mercury all in Aquarius in the first house. So you're not naturally a highly grounded person.
That's right.
There's not really, except for the Capricorn rising, not really any earth in your chart.
There's no earth in her chart, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what has grounded you in the past?
Oh, that's a very good question. Deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it's deadlines.
Moon and Aries,
generally, it's deadlines and a partner.
You have to get focused. Deadlines focus you. A partner will act as a disciplinarian. I still say neither one of them grounded you. Deadlines kick in something into gear and keep you focused.
Right.
Someone that you're working off can be grounding for you, but they're still holding the grounding, and you're not quite there. Bringing it down to the earthiness, to the doing, you know, when you do, and not think about what you could do or what you're afraid of, but what you actually have done, and bring it down to the earthy and what is possible. Not, you don't worry about probable, but what is possible and what can you do tomorrow, and bring in. You know, you tend to bite off more than you can chew and see the big picture so beautifully with that lineup in Aquarius, trine Neptune, trine, you would form a grand trine with your north node in Gemini. You see possibilities. But then taking it down to, and what can I do in the next 5 minutes towards that possibility? I've got this idea and that idea and this idea and that idea. Okay, tomorrow, what do I need to do that's heading in that direction? I'm going to go to, it's, you know, the image I keep seeing is, you know, if I'm in Maryland and I'm driving to California to take a plane to Tibet, tomorrow morning I'm going to have to get up, you know, pack my bags and take a step towards the airport. Or I'm going to start driving my car. And my car, the first stop will be West Virginia. So, you know, to know what your goal is, but bringing it down, what can I do today is what you need to do to ground it. And
well, I'm noticing the Star of David in your chart. You have a lovely Star of David. And what the Star of David is, it's a really powerful energy for manifesting because it's two grand trines that kind of cross each other. The grand trines in your case are in air and fire. And so that's really lovely. And then when they're in a Star of David, they have a number of oppositions to each other. And so you have planets opposite each other, and then you have planets that cooperate with each other. So it gives you a lot of energy. You know, the chart's very energized and able to do a lot of things. And then the Star of David actually is a pentacle. You know, it helps ground it. It helps bring it down to earth. But it's also a spiritual, sixes are spiritual, and it's a spiritual thing. And because it's a six-pointed star, it's also a Virgo thing. So I think the question that I would ask you to ask yourself is, which of these help my spirit? Which of these help me be in service to the collective? And if you ask that question, service to the collective will ground your chart, because Mercury rules your sixth house, as does the moon and the moon. And so if I say to you, which one is the one that's going to serve the collective the best, you can name that, and that's the one you should work on, because that will help you bring it down to earth, because you're answering.
And then we have to sign off.
Oh, we do? Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very, very much.
Sorry,
that
was too short.
That's great. That was
British
great.
British lady
help.
Talking?
Thank you.
Yes, okay. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
So 5 seconds.
Five seconds. All right, so this is the Astrology. Where three astrologers meet every week on the Internet, except we were only two this week because Mark is sleeping right now, which is where Heather and I will be shortly. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side, and I am joined by my buddy.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins in Minnesota tonight and in New York next week.
Yes, so please join us. We're going back to the Open Center starting tomorrow. The East-West Books close, so come to the Open Center, 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow. Mark and I will be there. Heather will be with us next week. And we wish you all a lovely week and a great new moon. Remember, it's a moon to release on, not to start things on. Forward you go. Take care.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.